You would look in the book of Luke, for a little while here tonight. Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. Amen. The Bible says, "And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. For he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." Now there's a key phrase there in that first verse that I read in verse 15, where it says, or at least it's the emphasis that I want to place tonight, and that is the verse that says, "And as the people were in expectation." As the people were in expectation. And you might wonder, well, what was their expectation? Well, John had stepped on the scene. He was preparing the way for the Lord. And when John began to preach, and he preached repentance, and he preached, you know, that the Messiah was coming, the Bible says they mused in their hearts, or they were stirred up. Their thoughts, their thinking was stirred up by the message of John, and it says that they were all in expectation. Living in expectation is the kind of life that we need to live as believers. Amen. We need to believe and expect that God is going to answer prayer, that God is going to move, that God can pour his Spirit out. And I believe it makes all the difference in the way we respond to the Spirit of God, how we respond in the services. If we come into this place and we really have an expectation, and it doesn't just have to be here in the church, that you just kind of live every day, expecting that God is going to work, expecting that he will answer prayer, that he will move in your life and in your circumstances, whatever that they might be. Now, if you can just put this in context, that there had been 400 years of complete silence from the end of the book of Malachi all the way to the gospel being unveiled through John stepping on the scene. And so you can imagine that the people of Israel, they had, when they heard John begin to speak, it stirred something up in them. It stirred up an expectation in them. As I said, 400 years of silence, that means there was no prophet, there was no word from the Lord, there was no visions or dreams, that they had portions of the law and the prophets, and they had the portions of the Old Testament scripture, and they had their ceremony and their rituals that they went through. And of course, all of those, even the ceremony and the rituals, were all pointing, the sacrifices, everything was pointing to Jesus. But you talk about 400 years, I hear people say all the time, "I just was in a spiritual drought. I'm spiritually dry. I wasn't receiving from God. I wasn't hearing the voice of the Lord. I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. I'm just in a spiritual drought." Well, can you imagine 400 years? 400 years, no word from the Lord. And then suddenly a man dressed pretty peculiar in the wilderness by the name of John begins to speak to them and preach concerning the Messiah that was going to come. one that's coming after me that's greater than me. And actually, they were musing, wondering if John was the Messiah. That's what it says. It says they sensed something in a divine message that John was preaching that stirred something up in their minds and their hearts. They mused, and that just means they were stirred to think about it and to meditate on it, and it probably was a part of their conversation. Is this man the Messiah that we've been waiting on? Well, John answers that question and says, I indeed baptize you with the water, but one is mightier than I. It's coming. And I'm not even worthy to take care of the latchet on his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do that. When he comes, he's going to baptize you, not in water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. So John clarified it completely to let them know. Now, that's what John said about Jesus. And you can look in Luke chapter 7 to see what Jesus said about John. Amen. Luke 7 and 24. It says, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? He was clarifying. This forerunner of Jesus was a man sent from God. And he wasn't just a reed shaken in the wind. This was a mighty man of God. What went you out to see? Verse 25. A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, that which they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But when you went out for to see a prophet, yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And that's what John was sent forth to do. And so John said his good words about Jesus and who he was. And Jesus said his good words about who John was. As a matter of fact, he went even further. He said, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, that was a big statement. There had been some mighty prophets of God. Amen. The Old Testament is filled with some mighty prophets of God. Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of these mighty men of God. But John was this mighty man of God who stepped on the scene after 400 years of silence and begins to speak the words of the Lord and declare the word of the Lord. And the result was, they were all in expectation. All in expectation. And they all mused in their hearts of John. Amen. I do believe it's important for us as the church, last day church, to live our life in an expectation. Expecting that God is going to move. He's going to work. He's going to answer prayer. He's going to pour out his spirit. And even in these dark days, troubling days that we live in right now, we so need to hear the word of the Lord. We so need to experience the touch of God upon our lives. When John stepped on the scene and his ministry was like, he said, the axe is laid to the root. They were all, the religious system was full of hypocrisy. And he dealt with their sin, and he said, every tree is going to be cast in the fire. And he told the publicans, don't take more than the law allows. He told the soldiers, stop being abusers of people and taking advantage of people just because you're a soldier, you've got authority. Let me tell you what happens whenever God begins to move. He turns everything upside down. He turns everything upside down. If you have an expectancy in your heart that God is going to work and that he is going to move, Sad to say, honestly, I think sometimes we have fallen into this attitude that things are so dark and so bad in our world right now that we've kind of shifted into survival mode, and it's just like, let's just do the best we can to make it till Jesus comes. And yet the Lord wants us to live with expectation of what He can do in dark times, in troubling times, such as we are living in right now. God can do some wonderful, mighty things. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. That's what happened. Whenever those apostles and those preachers in the book of Acts, every city and village, everywhere they went, they turned the world upside down. Amen. That's what happens when God begins to pour His Spirit out, when we're living in expectation of, God, could you really move in a time like this? Not only can He move, but He can turn people's worlds upside down. Amen. He can completely turn it upside down. And we know that people are living the wrong way anyway. They're living in sin. They're living, their lives are upside down. So all really is going to happen is He's going to turn everything upright and get it moving in the direction that it needs to be going. Amen. So we come to the house of the Lord. We should have an expectancy that God is going to speak. We're going to hear the word of the Lord. We're going to hear from God. We should have an expectancy that if unsaved people come into the meeting, that they are going to be saved. We need to believe God. We need to live in that kind of an expectancy. If there are those among us that are sick, that they will be healed. And that God can work miraculously in all kinds of things. No matter what it is, God can perform miracles. We need to expect that when we come into this place, that there is this wonderful presence of God. That we're coming together. And it's not going to be dull and defeated and hopeless. But instead, there's going to be a working and a moving of the Holy Ghost in this place. And folks are going to be filled and saturated and anointed of the Holy Ghost. Living in that kind of an expectancy. Amen. Expecting that the Lord is going to deliver those that are full of fear. Those that are living under a burden and can't seem to get out from under the trouble and the worry that they have. That folks are going to be set free from addictions and from alcohol and drugs and all different types of addictions in their life. That only happens when the church is living with an expectancy. Amen. When we have an expectancy in this place, then we will see God begin to move. Everything that Satan has loaded you down with, every doubt, every worry, every fear, all of these things, you need to be able to walk out of this place delivered from that. Delivered from all of that. Set free, living in an expectancy. Amen. But too often, our lives are just lives lived on survival. Oh, if we can just make it to the next day, if we can just make it to the next week, if we can just make it through this trying time, then we have accepted that. Instead of living, expecting that God can change things and that He can move in impossible situations. Acts chapter 3 is the story of the man who was lame from his mother's womb. He was brought, the Bible says he was carried. He was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. That was his life. Why was he there? It says, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Actually, what he would receive is just a meager, small amount from the compassion of a few people that would walk in there. And he would receive alms. What would that do for him? Well, it would help him to make it to the next day. It would help him to survive. Just another day. Praise God. But on this particular day, something changed. Peter and John come to the temple, and they ask of them alms. And they said, you're out of luck. We don't have money to give you. But we do have something. It won't just change your day. It's going to change your life. Praise God. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What did he expect? Well, he expected survival. Just another day. Just another daily handout. But he had an expectancy. But on this day, his expectancy, he was rewarded for that small little expectancy that he had. Just the slightest little thing that he was desiring. Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Praise God. I don't know that he expected. All he was expecting was just survival. Just another day. But that day, God turned his world upside down. Amen. God used those two men coming to the temple to pray to turn his world upside down. And I'm telling you, he was changed. The community was changed. Jerusalem was stirred up. I'm telling you, Jerusalem was turned upside down by that miracle that took place. They'd got used to seeing that man just in survival. But when they saw him walking and leaping and praising God and delivered from that situation of being lame, then the world was turned upside down. When we live in expectancy of what God can do, I mean, if we really came in here to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning and we began to expect, well, God is going to do something here today. God is going to move here in this place. And we, not even knowing for sure what or how he's going to work, maybe in a song, maybe in a testimony, maybe around the altar at the close of the service, however, but we just have an expectancy. We believe he's going to move. We believe it. Amen. And God can move and will move on the scene. And when he does, he can turn things upside down. Amen. That's really what we're praying for when we're praying for revival and restoration. We're praying for God to intervene and turn everything upside down. Amen. And change everything. Amen. Amen. That's been my heart. It's been my prayer for quite a while. Lord, you come. And in recent days, I've just determined, actually last weekend, as I was meditating, thinking about the need for revival, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, well, preach it then. Preach it. If you want the revival, preach about revival. And so I'm sorry, but that's probably what you are going to have to put up with for a while. Amen. And preach it until people begin to believe it and begin to act upon it and begin to expect that it's going to happen. Amen. That God is going to move in a wonderful way. So when he invades our church will be different. When the Holy Ghost invades the house of God, church is going to be turned upside down. And there will be this saturation of the Holy Ghost and a move of the Holy Ghost. And everybody will be just like these apostles and followers of John. And they are going to be all in expectation. What is God going to do today? Amen. I was saved and I was filled with the Spirit as a young person, about 15, I think, 14 or 15 years old. And it was in a revival that went for some several weeks, I think 3 weeks. And God began to move. He began to turn our world upside down. Young people in that church, I was one of them, and I was disinterested. I was as cold and indifferent toward anything, a move of God, or I had no interest in spiritual things, even though I was raised in church. Here I was, a teenager, but God began to speak. And God began to move. And I saw some young people responding. And God began to stir up in me a desire, an interest. I was like those followers of John. I started to have this desire, this expectancy in my heart. I started to have an interest and a longing to know, well, I wonder what would happen in my life if I just gave it to the Lord, if I just yielded it to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The past then became, it was over, and God began to work in my life. As I gave my heart to the Lord, as I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God began to work in my life. And down through the years, we've seen it. We've experienced God moving and answering prayer. And we are at an important time in our world right now where God needs to be on our hearts, and the expectancy of God's working and moving here among us. It needs to be something that's real, that we really do believe that God is going to move. Amen. Praise God. In November, in the month of November, amen, just like he was moving around these altars Sunday night, it may not always be in that kind of a move of God, but God just moves, and we expect and believe that he will move in our lives. Praise God. Amen. And believe that the Lord is going to answer your prayer, whatever that it might be, whatever your trouble or your worry, your problem is. We need to have a real expectancy that the Lord is going to hear our prayers and he's going to move. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live every day with an expectancy, Lord, that you're going to direct our steps. You're going to pour your Spirit out. You're going to move every day, Lord, in our lives supernaturally. You're going to show yourself mighty and strong, and we thank you for that. Lord, we're believing, God, that you're at work in every person here tonight. If they'll just make themselves available to you, Lord, if they just will have that kind of a faith and expectancy, God, you can change everything. You can change it all. Turn it all upside down for the glory of God. We know you can do it, Lord. We praise you and we thank you.